Hello, and welcome to Dad Educates Daughter on 80s Music. This is Series 5, Episode 6 on the Women Soloists. Hello, Rebecca.
Hello, Dad. How are you?
I'm good, thank you. So, just to remind everyone, this week you had Whitney Houston, Jackie Graham, Dionne Warwick, Taylor Dane, Joan Armour Trading, and Terry Wells. So yeah. How did it go?
It went well, you know. The only thing that I think I struggled with was writing my notes and there not being like many videos to go off. So like getting the feel of like how videos were. But then I think also, we're not going in chronological order anymore, really, are we? But I feel like videos are a lesser thing with soloists because they're not having to be a brand as such. So since we've been on like the soloists, especially females for some reason, there's not been like a heap of videos or any that have really had like a massive impact, you know, one that would be like worth mentioning or anything. And also with this week, I feel like some of these women should have been bigger. And I'll be definitely looking into some of their music, like seeking them out in playlists or just looking out for them alone and just like listening to just purely them, because we've got some beautiful vocals this week and some amazing songs. So it was, I want to say it was a strong week for the women.
Okay. Well, let's find out. Oh, first, before we do, how many number ones do you think?
Bit hard this week because Whitney Houston was like my front runner, you know, from her. And I didn't really have much from all the others. But even as much as I think they, quite a few of them should be bigger, I have only gone for number ones from Whitney Houston. I don't know whether, I don't want to embarrass myself by thinking of it should be a number one, basically. I'll be happy for them if anyone else does get a number one, but I've gone with 5 from Whitney Houston.
Okay. Well, there were 4 number ones.
Right.
3 in the 80s.
Okay. So we'll find out where they are then.
Yep.
Do you want to know my 5?
Oh, yeah, yeah, go on.
Then I don't have to.
Yeah.
So I went with I Want to Dance with Somebody, One Moment in Time, I Will Always Love You, I Have Nothing, and Queen of the Night.
Okay. One Moment in Time, by the way, is my favourite song of hers. Do you like that? I think it was, I haven't wrote it down or anything or even looked into like songs, but I'm pretty sure it was to do with the Olympics or something like that.
Yeah, the video is to do with the Olympics.
Yeah.
It's all like clips.
I remember it.
I don't know what Olympics, like what year, but video said Olympics.
Okay. So let's talk music. Let's talk Whitney Houston.
Yes. So her genre, I feel like she's found her niche, like she knows what works for her. She is a powerful vocalist, but her genre, I feel like, could dabble in quite a bit. So I've gone with pop, dance, R&B and soul, or any of those. I never realised how young she was when she first started out. That's if she even first started out in the 80s. But from like the first song that I had and watched a video, she's so young. And I feel her story is such an interesting one. So I can't wait to actually hear all about her. And even though like I've heard of her before, I'm a little bit of a fan, I've never like delved into her. I wish I had, because she's got a documentary, I think. So that's something that I do want to watch. And I just think she's just incredible. Her vocals are just unmatched. And I don't think anyone has or will be able to make the music that she makes. just because of her vocals. She's definitely one with the ballads. And I hadn't actually heard of all of her songs. Like, there was a few on there that I was like, oh, don't recognize you. So that was quite nice to have like such a big name, because usually in the past I've had a big name and I do recognize pretty much all of them. So it was quite nice to have quite a fair few that hadn't heard of. Considering the amount of songs that I have, I know the last song you gave me is a more recent one. I remember it being released, but like all the others, I feel are from the 80s, 90s, and she just doesn't seem to age, or she just ages really well. And I just think that for the amount that she's got in the time, well, I'm assuming she was like a short time, but the amount that she's got in the short time, she just excelled. But then I think there's things in her story that brought her down, but yeah, her vocals are just, I could go on about them for days.
Okay, so Whitney Houston from Newark, New Jersey, been active in the music business since 1977.
Okay.
She's a singer, songwriter, and actress, and her genres are R&B, pop, soul, and dance pop. So you're pretty much spot on.
Every single one. That has never happened.
Yeah.
I was just listening to the songs and being like, right, this one sounds poppy, this one sounds this, and then I was like, she might have a bit, oh, get me. That's never going to happen again.
So both of Houston's parents were of African-American descent. Through Houston's mum, Emily, Houston had a singing background, as her cousins were Dionne and Dee Dee Warwick. While opera singer... Yeah, there's a re- I knew that already, and that's why I put her on with this one.
Right, okay.
While opera singer Leontine Price was a distant cousin. Houston, also called Aretha Franklin, aunt, while Darlene Love was her godmother.
Wow, so she's in that music industry from, like, womb.
Yeah, and it's through her mum. So Houston's mum, Sissy, as she was known to friends, so even though her name was Emily, they called her Sis, or Sissy, had a band which she fronted on the cabaret circuit. And in 1977... Whitney joined as a backing singer. Oh. In 1978, she starred in her first non-church performance, singing Tomorrow from the stage show Annie at her local town hall. And it saw her get her first standing ovation.
Get her.
Houston then began a career as a session singer, and got assigned to singers such as Lou Walls and Chaka Khan. In 1980, Houston became a fashion model and became the first black woman to appear on the cover of a fashion magazine.
She's doing bits, isn't she, even from a young age?
Yeah. When she appeared on... So she appeared on the cover of Seventeen in 1981.
I've heard of that magazine.
In April 1983, Houston signed a recording deal with Arista head Clive Davis after being persuaded to see her perform by Jerry Griffiths, who was like the artist man, he went out and found them. As she was only 19, her parents also had to sign. And just 2 weeks later, Houston performed on the Merv Griffin show, which was like a talk show.
I was waiting to find out like how old she was as well.
Her first recording was a duet with Teddy Pendergrass on the track Hold Me. The single was released in 1984 and gave Houston her first taste of success, when the single became a top 10 hit on both the R&B and adult contemporary charts.
Wow.
During this period, Houston continued to model and appeared in a commercial for Canada Dry, a soft drink, and also began singing commercial jingles. In February 19...
That's how she started, like Whitney Houston. Yeah. You wouldn't think of her and be like, yeah, back in the day, she did commercial jingles.
Yeah. In February 1985, Valentine's Day to be precise, the 14th, her debut album, Whitney Houston, was released. And in March 1986, over a year after its release, the album was number one on the Billboard Hot 200 chart.
Wow.
So it took a while to get there.
But she got there regardless. Got there.
And once it was there, it would stay there for 14 weeks.
So no matter how long it took her, she was there and she came to stay.
The album would reach the top five in more than 10 other countries, including number one in Australia, Canada, Italy, Norway, South Africa, and Sweden. In the UK, it reached number two for 3 weeks, kept off number one by Dire Straits' Brothers in Arms album. Other albums in the chart at the time were Phil Collins' No Jacket Required and Kate Bush's Hounds of Love, which both had previously been number one. So they were all number one.
They were going down.
Yeah, they were, yes. Yeah.
But has never quite got there anymore.
Whitney's first solo single release was You Give Good Love, which reached number three on the Billboard Hot 100. Follow-up single, Saving All My Love For You, gave Houston her first Billboard Hot 100 number one, and the next two singles released, How Will I Know and Greatest Love of All, also reached number one in the US.
Wow, considering that's like after, they're like her second, third and fourth solo singles, and yet she got number one with her first one being nearly there anyway.
Yeah,
that's mad.
In 1987, Houston's second studio album, titled Whitney, reached number one on the Billboard Hot 200, as well as in Australia, Canada, Netherlands, Finland, Germany, Italy, New Zealand, Norway, Sweden, Switzerland, and in the UK.
Got a number one album over here by then.
The lead single, I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me, reached number one on the Billboard Hot 100. And the next three singles released on the album, Didn't We Almost Have It All, So Emotional, and Where Do Broken Hearts Go, also reached number one.
Right, so now I'm going to pause you. Do we think she's got this success because of who her mum is and who her cousins and her godparents and all that? Or is it because she's actually put that work in, or like a bit of both? Because obviously from the beginning when you said she's done the commercial jingle, she's done modelling, so she's kind of been working the grind. She's not just been thrown in it and been signed on to someone that they already know's record label. So she has worked and, you know, done a job of working for it, but then has it helped that she had all these big names behind her in her family anyway? So kind of knows.
I would say it's a bit of both. I would say one, it helped knowing the business, probably got a few contacts. I don't know, but it definitely helped. I mean, by the sound of it, she didn't really get into it through contacts because she was signed up by Arista, who's scout or AR man, whatever they call him, was the one who told the
record company
CEO to go and see her. So I don't think she got signed up.
Also, I guess I just think natural talent. Well, I was just about to say, also, like while you were talking then, I was also thinking the music that she's releasing isn't off a name of anyone. Like she's not name dropping. She is writing it, singing it, recording it and getting it out. So and she's not got the same name as anyone. You know, like if she had Warwick as her surname, it might be that people would check her out because they like, but she's not. She's off her own back, I guess, isn't she? So Maybe it is literally just her. I just wonder, because I was like, would Whitney Houston have done as good if she wasn't related to these people? But then again, as we were talking then, she'd not actually got it off anyone. Like, she's still had to work for it, hasn't she? And the music is her music.
Hmm.
Okay, yeah.
So that now means she's had 7 number ones on the Billboard Hot 100.
Mad, that.
Of singles. Plus,
and then all she's released as well.
Yeah. Plus 2 albums.
Bar her first.
Other than her first single,
yeah,
which I said got to number three, the rest have all got to number one, has had both her albums.
Madness.
In 1990, her third studio album was released, titled I'm Your Baby Tonight, which reached number 3 on the Billboard Hot 200 and only made number 1 in one country, which was Greece. Oh. However, it was a success, reaching the top 5 in Austria, Finland, Germany, Hungary, Italy, Japan, Norway, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, and the UK, where it was number 4.
I think I got that one then. Oh, wait, that was an album, wasn't it? Was that an album?
Yeah, that was the album, yeah.
Yeah.
The lead single and title track, I'm Your Baby Tonight, made number 1 on the US Billboard Hot 100, as did the follow-up single, All the Man That I Need.
Wow. She's like an international success overnight as well. At such a young age.
In 1992, Whitney Houston married fellow R&B singer Bobby Brown,
mm-hmm.
who was originally in the pop group New Edition. In 1993, Whitney Houston gave birth to her only child, a daughter, Bobby Christina Brown.
Mm-hmm.
Also in 1992, Houston appeared in the film Bodyguard alongside Kevin Costner. Houston also recorded 5 singles for the soundtrack. I Will Always Love You, I'm Every Woman, I Have Nothing, Run to You, and Queen of the Night. With I Have Nothing and Run to You, both nominated for Oscars. I Will Always Love You was a cover of Dolly Parton's, and I'm Every Woman was originally recorded by Chaka Khan.
I think so. When I got given that, like, even before listening, like when I see a song title, I might sing it in my head, and sometimes it's a completely wrong song when I listen to it. I'm like, nope. But that one, I was singing it in my head, and I was like the wrong song, but mostly because I was singing Chaka Khan's version. I did wonder whether there was any, but okay, there it is.
Whitney Houston released 7 albums between 1985 and 2009. She scored 11 Billboard Hot 100 number ones, 7 of which were in the 80s. Her last number one was in 1995, Exhale, Shoop Shoop. That's in the US.
Why the hell was that? Never ever heard of that.
During her career, Houston won many awards, including 2 Emmy Awards, 8 Grammy Awards, including being inducted into the Grammy Hall of Fame. Her only Brit Award was for Best Soundtrack for The Bodyguard in 1991, although she was nominated for Best International Solo Artist in 1987, 1988, 1989, and 1991. Okay. Missing out too, Paul Simon, 1987, Michael Jackson, 1988, Naina Cherry in 1989 and Prince in 1991.
Okay, apart from Paul Simon, they're all like names that I know and are quite big. And is that okay?
I wouldn't say Naina Cherry was.
No, she weren't that big actually, was she?
And when you think Madonna was around at this time as well, although she's more early age.
She's British though, but this was the international.
Yeah, Madonna's not British.
Why do I still think she's British?
I don't know. Whitney Houston died on February the 11th, 2012, from drowning due to cocaine use. So she drowned in the bath. Houston has said she was, or had said, she was influenced by the likes of Chaka Khan, Gladys Knight, and Roberta Flack. Houston is regarded as one of the greatest vocalists of all time and is seen as one of the most influential R&B artists in history. Whitney's daughter, Bobby, died in 2015, 3 years after her mother's death, and she had been found face down in a bathtub. She was 22. Oh, so they both died from drowning.
But Whitney suffered with, like, a big drug misuse, didn't she?
Yeah.
That's, like, well known, isn't it? But that only came later in life, didn't it? That weren't, like, all through her life.
Yeah, no, I think it was when she got with Bobby Brown, really. So.
And yet, was her daughter drug misuse, or did she just...
I think she was face down. Well, I'm not 100% sure, but I've got a feeling that was.
I remember Whitney then.
Okay, so on to her songs that you had. So 1985, Saving All My Love For You, number one.
Do you know, when you were talking and said how many number ones she had in the US, but from my point of view, I never know where these come in their career. So when it's a first song, I'm less likely going to say that it was a number one, unless it's a massive song or I really know them or, like, do you know what I mean? Like, I'm never going to say the first song I have is going to be a number one, but well done to her. It really shows her vocals. It's soft. And then it builds up. It was a very good start.
1986, How Will I Know, number five.
Upbeat, sing your heart out. It's just a great piece of music.
1986 again, The Greatest Love of All, number eight.
This has lovely lyrics and is a prop, like... I want to say it's like a ballad, but not like, you know, power ballads in rock. That's not what I mean when they come to her. You know, like a ballad of just like singing, like big singing. That's what I describe these as.
1987. I Want to Dance with Somebody Who Loves Me. Number one.
Okay, I got one. The background music really sets the tone and it literally is a song that makes you want to dance. It's one of those that gets you moving.
1987, Didn't We Almost Have It All? Number 14.
This one's a bit more in the background. I think this is like probably one of my lesser favourites. It's just slow and it's one tone. It's not really got those ranges for her.
1987, So Emotional, number five.
It's very dance, got a good beat, builds up. I just think the chorus really does it justice as well.
1988, Where Do Broken Hearts Go, number 14.
This is another one where I absolutely love the chorus. I would have put it a bit higher, I think. It's very calm and stripped back.
1988, Love Will Save the Day, number 10.
She, I wouldn't say it's her, because it's whoever's making the music, but they like to play around with, like, different sounds. So, like, I Want to Dance with Somebody has, like, I don't know what they're tapping, but the bit at the beginning. And then this one has some tinkly sounds in there. And I just think it brings something different to it. But this one's a very to-the-point song. These are the words that I want to get out, and this is what I'm going to sing.
1988, One Moment in Time, number one.
But that one, to be fair, I was like, well, Olympics. But it is, it's beautiful. The tempo is perfect. It's just all round bloody amazing. And for Whitney Houston, I've got two favourites. One, because I've always had a favourite song of hers anyway. And the other is this one, as one that I Not that I didn't know this song, but one that I wouldn't necessarily think of when I think of Whitney Houston. So along with you, this is one of my favourites.
Yeah. It's actually not even from an American Olympics. It's from the Seoul 1988 Olympics.
Oh, so it's not. So that's weird, because you would have thought it would have been when America was hosting.
Yeah. But no, it's for Seoul in South Korea. 1989. It isn't, it wasn't, it ain't never gonna be. Number 29.
Oh, she did this with Aretha Franklin. I think it's very catchy. It's very different for her, so I can understand why it's a bit lower. But then I think it's good that she's mixed it up and they do sound good together with Aretha having those deeper vocals. I did enjoy it. I wouldn't have put it as 29, but I agree with it being further down the charts, just not that far.
Okay. 1990 now. I'm Your Baby Tonight, number 5.
This is like her R&B type of song where she's changed it up a bit. It's a proper head pop bopper, very fast paced, got some good beats in there, good piece of music.
1990 still, All the Man That I Need, number 13.
This one slow starts off slow and then it builds up to that passionate belt your heart out singing by her.
1991, My Name Is Not Susan, number 29.
I agree with this chart placing. Like, it's a bit like, not a meh one, but it's one that could be sung by anyone. Really? I would say it speaks to people and many will love it. Well, obviously not many, because it's not up there with all the rest. But I agree that it's not probably one of her best.
Okay. 1992, I Will Always Love You. The fourth number one. This is the one that's outside of the 80s.
This one is all I have to say is her vocals. Unmatched. No one can do it. Fabulous song.
1993, I'm Every Woman, number 4.
Feel good, gets you moving. It's a sing along.
1993, I Have Nothing, number 3.
This is just beautiful, perfect. It's soft, and then bam, when she's in a chorus, she just puts that different energy into it.
1993, Run to You, number 15.
This is just simple and it just focuses on those vocals. And the video even just focuses on her, like there's nothing else in that video, just her face.
1993, Queen of the Night, number 14.
Oh, I put this as a number. I mean, I know we've done all the number ones, but this one, I would not put a 14. This is a high song. This has got everything, plus that little bit of sass. Like, I think every woman should be listening to this song. It's a great song.
Okay. Now, bear in mind that those, I Will Always Love You, I'm Every Woman, Run to You, and Queen of the Night.
And from Bodyguard.
And I Have Nothing, sorry.
I was going to say, as I Have Nothing.
From the Bodyguard.
Yeah.
And the soundtrack got to number one.
Do you know what? I've never seen Bodyguard. I've been told to watch it many times. Apparently it's really good. I've never seen it.
1996, Step by Step, number 13.
You only get into it after a minute. Like, it takes a minute. I feel she's bigging up the workforces by the video. Like, the lyrics are like... About like day jobs, I'd say. It is a good song though, but the lyrics are that bit different to what she'd usually be singing about.
Okay, 1999. It's Not Right, But It's Okay. Number 3.
Okay, this is just my favourite song by Whitney Houston. It's like my go-to. I absolutely love it. Music again, it's a big deal in this, and it's one that you can really get into.
1999 still, My Love Is Your Love, number 2.
Okay. I didn't actually know this was by her. It's quite modern and moved on from her normal stuff, but it is good. Like, you can proper sing it out. I just didn't know it was hers.
And then lastly, her top 10 single in the UK. Million Dollar Bill, number 5 in 2009.
Yeah, I remember this one like coming out. So when you sent me this one, I was like, oh yeah, I couldn't remember how it went. But then when I played it, I was like, that's it. She's showing that she still has it, really, hasn't she? And this one gets you moving.
Okay. Moving on to Jackie Graham.
Yes. So she did a few with David Grant. So were they ever a duo or anything, is what I want to know, because, or did he help her in some way? Because, yeah, there was a few with him. She seems to change and become more something as time goes on. Like, she found a style that she enjoys and it suits her. Like, she needed that upbeat music to give her better songs, I feel. So that tells you I kind of prefer. I mean, you only gave me 6, but I prefer the later ones. She's quite 70s, 80s dress. So she might be very early 80s with this in mind. And as for genre, I just went for new wave because I weren't sure. So I was like, let's play it safe.
Okay. So Jackie Graham from Birmingham in England. Active since 1977. A singer-songwriter. Genres R&B, dance pop, British soul and pop.
And then that's a bit too broad. As much as Whitney Houston was broad, she had the more music. But yeah, I don't know. She was quite hard to place, obviously.
So, born in Birmingham to Jamaican parents. In 1983, after a recording session with the jazz funk band, Medium Wave Band, she was spotted by a talent scout and signed to EMI Records. 2 singles were released. Heaven Knows and Once More with the Feeling, along with her first album, Heaven Knows, released in 1985. The single, Could It Be I'm Falling in Love, a duo featuring David Grant, reached number 4 on the Billboard Hot 100, while follow-up single, Round and Around, gave Jackie her second top 10 single in the UK, although the album itself stalled at number 48.
Ooh, that's not good, is it?
Her second album, Breaking Away, released in 1986, charted much better at number 25, while the singles Mated, Set Me Three, Breaking Away, and Step Right Up all charted in the top 20, with Set Me Free giving Jackie her third top 10 single. Mated saw Jackie again duo with David Grant. Her third studio album, From Now On, released in 1989, didn't chart, and the 3 singles released never charted inside the top 70.
Wow. So when you were like going through her second album, like I kind of follow with what songs I've got. And I was like, right, I said them all. So what does she do next? So, but apparently just flopped.
Yeah. Jackie has released 10 studio albums between 1985 and 2018, but not seen the success of her first 2 albums and singles from the mid 80s. In October 2012, Graham was honoured with a Birmingham Walk of Star on Broad Street.
Birmingham have their own, like, star.
Yeah, evidently, yeah. And Jackie Graham's name.
I want to go see that now. That's so random.
Oh, it's in Broad Street, Birmingham.
Bless her, though. Still releasing albums. I mean, Birmingham obviously like her.
Oh, yeah. So, onto her singles. 1985, Could It Be I'm Falling in Love with David Grant, got to number 5.
Okay. I've had this one before, I think. I've done David Grant, haven't I? Because I did recognise this one. I recognised the look of him.
I think so, yeah. I think you probably have.
Yeah, because I did recognise. I didn't recognise Mated, but I recognised this one. And I looked at it and I was like, I've seen you before. They work well together. They've got good harmonies, but the song is a bit quiet.
Okay. 1985, Round and Around, number 9.
There's too much from the backing vocals. Like, you can't hear her. She's getting drowned out by them. It's very odd. Like, it's not really a song that's her. It's everyone else.
1985, Mated, with David Grant, number 20.
He lets her, so with Could It Be I'm Falling In Love, he took the lead a bit, whereas in Mated, she took the lead, and it shows that she really can sing, because up until now I was like, not really heard her.
Okay. 1986, Set Me Free, number 7.
This was my favourite. Upbeat, I feel like she's finding herself. Like I said, these last three, I feel like she's got that bigger, you know, projection of who she is in them. It's got a good build up to the chorus as well.
1986, Breaking Away, number 16.
So this has got a good beat, but it's quite repetitive within the lyrics. So there's not much going on lyric wise. I feel like there could have been more that could have been done with it to go with the music itself.
And 1986, Step Right Up, number 15.
This was very catchy. It didn't need to be big and loud to do the job. It came in, done its thing, and left.
Okay. And yes, you have had David Grant. He was in Series 4, Episode 5. So you'd have had Mated as well.
I don't remember Mated. Because when I was into it, I was like when I was first listening, I was like, I recognise this song, but I don't recognise Jackie Graham. But it didn't say with David Grant when I put it on Spotify. And then, so that's why I didn't know that I'd even had it or anything. And then when I was watching the video, it said with David Grant, I was like, I recognise that name. And then I saw him and I was like, I recognise that face. But I didn't recognise Mated. Didn't stay in my head.
Moving on to Dionne Warwick.
Yes, so I've gone with jazz. I feel like she's a bit jazzy. I recognised a few of her songs. Could not place where or how I know them, though. Like, usually when I recognise songs, I can say it's from you or from, like, a TV show or, like, a certain place in time or, like, do you know what I mean? Where's her? I just can't place where I know them from. She's one that's just comfortable and seems effortless. She knows what works for her voice and just goes with it. Not many videos, like these last three is where I really struggled to get a vibe from them. But looking at, like, I think she had like one video, like that was a proper video, and like album covers, she's just glamorous, elegant, classy. She's a bit of an older woman, so maybe being around for a while. Obviously now we've done Whitney Houston, I know that she is, but yeah, that was my inkling from her.
Okay. So, Dionne Warwick, born Marie Dionne Warwick, and that is spelt W-A-R-R-I-C-K.
Oh, I've not spelled it like that.
I'll go into that.
Oh, okay.
She's from East Orange in New Jersey, been active since 1955.
Ooh, has been around a bit.
She's a singer, actress, R&B, soul, pop and gospel.
So not jazz at all.
No, although I can understand where.
Maybe it's like the maybe the gospel in there and soul, maybe those together.
So Dionne started out in the group The Drinkard Singers alongside Emily Sissy Drinkard.
Yeah.
And her sister, Dee Dee Warwick. The group were managed by Dionne and Dee Dee's mother, while Emily, who was known as Sissy, would go on to have three children with her husband, John Houston, including a daughter named Whitney. The group were asked to provide backing vocals at recording sessions, and soon the group were in demand for their harmonies and worked with artists like The Drifters and Ben E. King. It was while working with The Drifters during the 1962 recording Mexican Divorce that the Warwick's voice that Warwick's voice was noticed. Having signed to Skepta Records, Warwick released her first solo single, Don't Make Me Over, in November 1962. However, another song she had recorded and wanted to be released as her first single, Make It Easy on Yourself, she learned had been given to another artist, Jerry Butler. On the single that was released, Warwick's name had been misspelt, W-A-R-W-I-C-K, and she decided to use the new spelling in future.
Oh, so it was literally like a mistake, and she was like, yeah, that'll do.
Yeah.
I'll carry on then, quite like that.
Her debut album, Presenting Dionne Warwick, spelt the new way, the misspelt way, only charted in the UK at number 14.
Still not bad, though.
While of the three singles, only Don't Make Me Over charted well, number 21 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 5 on the Billboard R&B chart. Her second album, Anyone Who Had a Heart, saw the lead single and title track chart at number 8 on the Billboard Hot 100, while in 1964, the third album, Make Way for Dionne Warwick, saw lead single Walk On By chart at number 6 on the Billboard Hot 100 and number 1 on the Billboard R&B chart.
So she's persisted with it and she's got somewhere, hasn't she?
Throughout the 60s and 70s, Dionne released albums and singles, with 1968's Do You Know the Way to San Jose giving her a second top 10 hit in the UK. Her next big hit in the UK wouldn't come until 1982 when Heartbreaker charted.
Oh, okay. So as much as like Walk On By and Do You Know the Way to San Jose like gave her that thing in the 60s, she missed out on like being anything.
I mean, she still had hits in America, but nothing like...
Yeah. But over here,
yeah,
she's not got it as much.
Which is interesting when her first album only charted in the UK.
Like you would have thought that we would have then followed her, but...
Yeah. Dionne has released 40 albums between 1963 and 2019.
Whoa, that's so recent. Bloomin' heck, she must be old now.
Yeah, I think she's in her 80s, I think I saw.
She's got to be.
Yeah. Dionne has won 6 Grammy Awards through her career, including a Lifetime Achievement Award in 2019.
I mean, you would, wouldn't you, at that point? Like, if you're not getting a Lifetime Achievement after spending your life dedicated to music, you're not doing it right, are you?
So, her songs. 1964, Walk On By, number 9.
Her vocals and the music go really well together. She's soft, but the music gives you that more of a swaying, more of an upbeat part to it, I'd say.
1968, Do You Know the Way to San Jose, number 8.
This is a bit of a change-up. It's more upbeat and very fast-paced, but it was catchy.
1982, Heartbreaker, number 2.
This was my favourite out of them all. It's sing-along, good chorus, simple focus on the vocals.
1982, All the Love in the World, number 10.
You can just have this on and listen to it without even paying attention to it. Like, it's just got that vibe where you don't even have to... Like, and it's not the same as when I say it's a background song, because... This one hits a bit different. I can't explain it, but it's lovely.
And 1985, That's What Friends Are For. And this was with, it says it was with friends. So I don't know who else sang on it.
In the video, there was a guy on a harmonica and a guy singing with her.
I couldn't find. And it got to number 16.
I really like this song, and this has like been, I don't know if it's been covered, but it's in Bridesmaids. and they sing it in a really funny way. And I've never really heard the song sung properly until today. Well, not today, this week. The harmonica at the beginning. Oh, it's beautiful. Didn't know I liked the sound of a harmonica. The harmonies are on point with her friends. I just think it's a really good song. It's an all-rounder.
Okay. So, moving on to Taylor Dane.
Yeah. I've gone for synth pop, rock, new wave, and also jazz. I think she's a very talented vocalist, and she reminds me of someone from like my generation, and all I could think of was like Anastasia or Christina Aguilera, but not like the vocal. I don't know what it is, just like her persona and the way she is, and maybe a bit of her vocals, but I don't know, I couldn't put my finger on it, but they kept coming into mind. She can do a mixture of sounds and music, and like her music choice, I'd say that she's quite varied more than most, like. And it works for her. She's not like here, there, and everywhere, because they've still got like those same vibes from her, but she can mix it up a bit. And all I can think of as her is her hair is like a lion's mane. She's got so much hair. It's ridiculous. But yeah, there weren't many videos to go on. I just couldn't take my eyes off her hair.
Okay. So Taylor Dane, born Leslie Wunderman.
Okay.
She's from New York City. She's been active since 1985. She's a singer, actress, and pop, dance pop, blue-eyed soul is her genres.
Okay, yeah, I can see that. But like I say, I just feel like she hits everywhere.
Taylor started singing with little-known bands like Felony and Next. Then after finishing college, she began singing solo and recorded two dance singles under the name Les Lee.
Okay.
So her name was Leslie. Her name's spelled L-E-S-L-I-E, and she went under the name Les and then Lee, double L-E. No, sorry, L-double E. Yeah. I'm the One You Want in 1985 and Tell Me Can You Love Me in 1986. She then signed to Arista Records as Taylor Dane. Again, don't know why she's changed her name, but yeah, that's what she's now gone under. And she released Tell It to My Heart in 1987. The song was an instant success worldwide, and reached number one in West Germany. Six more US top 10 hits followed with Prove Your Love, I'll Always Love You, Don't Rush Me, With Every Beat of My Heart, Love Will Lead You Back, and I'll Be Your Shelter. With Love Will Lead You Back from her second album, Can't Fight Fate, in 1989, reaching number one on the Billboard Hot 100.
So she's got some.
She had a number one single in the US.
But in the US, not over here.
Yeah. Taylor has released five studio albums between 1988 to 2008. And Taylor went on to be an actress, appearing in several independent films and as well as TV series.
A lot of female soloists go into acting. Like we've had quite a few actresses.
Yeah. Tina Turner, Whitney Houston, Madonna.
Yeah. I mean, that's not a lot, but I feel like for six
episodes. No, I think there's been others. They're just the ones that come to mind.
But like six episodes in, there's like quite a few.
Yeah.
Didn't it? How they all go. Like the men didn't do anything like that. But then I feel like maybe it's because women have to fight that bit more to stay relevant. I don't know.
Back possibly.
Then, more than now. Or we're just more talented.
So Taylor Dane, 1988, Tell It to My Heart, got to number three in the UK.
So I recognise this one. This is one that I sung in my head before listening to it, but I'm never good with names of songs and who even sings them. So I had no idea that I knew this song and it was by her. It's very 80s. It's just a fun and upbeat love song, But yeah, really good. I enjoyed that one. I would have put that as number one if it weren't her first one, because I feel like it's quite a up there song, and I feel like it should. Well, I mean, it got high anyway, but I feel like it's quite a commercial song.
1988, Prove Your Love, number 8.
This one's a bit more rock. Get You Moving, it's got a great chorus.
1988, I'll Always Love You, number 41.
This was my favourite of hers. This was like, it's like a proper love song, and it shows what she can do with her voice. And it's a bit softer than what she's had previous.
And in 1993, Can't Get Enough of Your Love, number 14.
So I put Wow, just Wow. And I'm wondering, like, is it a cover or being covered? Because I recognise it and I've heard it. But I don't recognise this version. Like, I've not heard this one, but I feel like I've heard another version. I feel like it comes from somewhere, or I've heard a cover of it. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just an incredible song to listen to.
So it was an actual song that was written and recorded by Barry White.
Okay.
So it's a cover.
Right. I wonder if I know his version. I don't know.
Or whether, and it does say Taylor Dane version and then other versions. So Taylor Dane's is obviously the main other version to have her own.
I wonder if I've heard it.
So yes.
But yeah, I didn't recognise that one, but I was like, I've definitely heard this song before.
Okay, moving on to Joan Armour Trading.
Yeah, so this one was very hard. I don't know what genre she is, right? And there weren't really any videos, so this is going to be a short from me, which is shocking. But her, just the three, so I didn't listen to anymore. But the three songs she gave me, she's just calming. And she's probably one person. Like, I'm not waiting for the drop of the beat. Like, you know, like a lot of times if it's like a softer song and all one tempo, I'll be like, I'm waiting for something. I'm not with her. And it just suits her and her music. Like, just the way she sings these songs, you're just there like, okay, like, they're lovely. Whether that all her songs are like that, for me to only have three, like whether others were a bit meh and not with the same tone, I don't know. But these three, just the way she is, I'm not sat there going, well, do something with your song then. So that shocked me, really.
Okay. So Joan Armour Trading from Basseterre in the British Leeward Islands, so the Caribbean.
Right.
Active since 1972. She's a singer-songwriter of pop, rock, folk rock, and blues.
Okay. But the songs are like so, I wouldn't know where to place them in any of those genres because of how they are.
Mm-hmm.
So, but yeah, that's what she was.
When Joan was 3 years old, she moved with her parents to Birmingham.
Oh.
At around 14, Armour Trading started writing songs to music on a piano her mother had bought as a piece of furniture.
Oh, that's a bit odd, isn't it?
Yeah. Her father played in a band but forbid his children touching his guitar because it's not a toy.
Yeah.
Armour Trading first performed at her brother's university. She only knew her own songs, yet he had asked her to perform something familiar to the audience, so she chose to sing The Sound of Silence. Then in 1972, Armour Trading appeared on the BBC Radio 1 John Peel show, performing Head of the Table, Spend a Little Time, Child Star, and Whatever's for Us. Also in 1972, Cube Records released Armour Trading's debut album, Whatever's for Us, which was co-written with her lyricist Pam Nestor, And although Nesta wrote the lyrics to 11 of the 14 tracks on the album, it was Armour Trading had wrote obviously three tracks. Mm-hmm. She also wrote all the music. She performed all the vocals and played an array of instruments. And although Nesta was credited as co-lyricist, Cube regarded Armour Trading as the more likely star potential material. These events produced tension between the pair and eventually broke the partnership up. Armour Trading's first released single was Lonely Lady, which wasn't included on the album.
Oh.
In 1975, Armour Trading signed with A&M Records and released her second album, Back to the Night, which she promoted on a tour with a six-piece English jazz group. The Movies is what the band was called.
Mm.
Or the six-piece backing band. While on the album sleeve, Armour Trading thanked Elkie Brooks for looking after them in the studio while they recorded the album by cooking for them.
That's so weird. Like, what an odd...
Well, Elkie Brooks is a well-known singer.
Yeah, but...
And she was cooking for Joan Armour Trading and this six-piece The Movies jazz group. And yeah,
that's what you hear.
No, well, that's obviously why she was grateful. Put it on her sleeve. During the 70s, Armour Trading released five albums between 1972 and 1978. And saw the single Love and Affection chart at number 10 in the UK singles chart in 1976. In 1980, Armour Trading revised her playing style and released Me, Myself, I, a harder rock and pop orientated album produced by Richard Gottenher, who had previously produced albums for Blondie. The album became Armour Trading's highest ever charting album, both in the UK, number 5, and the US, number 28, while the title track became her second UK top 40 hit. Armour Trading's next two albums also charted in the UK top 10, 1981's Walk Under Ladders at number 6, and 1983's The Key at number 10. While The Key's lead single, Drop the Pilot, gave Armour Trading her second top 20 single and third top 40 chart in the UK. Armour Trading has released 20 studio albums between 1972 and 2021.
Oh, so that's really recent. These go on for years, don't they?
Yeah. In 1996, Armour Trading won an Ivor Novello Award for Outstanding Contemporary Song Collection. She also has been nominated for 2 Grammy Awards and 2 Brit Awards for Best British Female Solo Artist. In 1987, she missed out to Kate Bush, and in 1996 to Annie Lennox.
Don't get the hype around Kate Bush.
In April 2016, Armour Trading was presented with a Lifetime Achievement Award by BBC Radio 2 in recognition of her influence on a generation of singer-songwriters, as she was one of the outstanding voices in British music since the 70s.
Wow. So she's quite known and big over there, but then here we've only had 3 in the charts.
Mm.
That makes me kind of want to explore her other music and see how it is.
So, Joan Armour Trading, 1976, Love and Affection, number 10.
This is very lullaby-like. You could fall asleep to this. It's soft and calming. Well, it's lovely.
Okay. 1980, Me, Myself, I, number 21.
Okay, this is simple, repetitive, clear, calm. I just feel like, yeah, it's just, along with love and affection, it's just her. That's what she is.
Okay. And in 1983, Drop the Pilot, number 11.
Okay, this was my favourite. It's quite catchy, upbeat. It's got a good beat to it as well. Kind of changes it a bit, but still got that calmness to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's my favourite. Okay, on to the last artist of this week, Terry Wells.
Yes, I don't know what's wrong with me with the last three, but I've gone with jazz. But I think this one's got something in it. Like, it's got a saxophone in it, and I feel like saxophones are jazz. Okay, that's where this one comes from. I only had one song. There's nothing to see with any, so I listened to two extras, but any of the three songs I've listened to overall, there was only one album cover, and she just looks like, I mean, she's posing for an album cover, so pretty much to say on that. There's similar vibes in all three songs I've listened to, so she has got that, you know, she knows what she wants to get out music wise but obviously only one song's done well. It's got good background music in the songs as well. So the extras I listened to are I'm Giving All My Love. That's probably my favorite out of the three. It's got more going on, good beat, fast pace, shows off her vocal range. And then I listened to Just Like Dreaming. This is a swaying song. This is where the saxophone is, and it's really, really good in it. I really like it. So yeah, and then obviously the other song I'll let you know in a bit.
Okay. So Terry Wells, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, active since 1975. She's a singer-songwriter, funk, R&B, and soul.
Okay. Soul, so Wells, I feel like soul's in here quite a lot this week.
Yeah. So Wells started out in 1975 with Philadelphia group City Limits. The group recorded one album and released one single. Wells was then recruited as a session singer in 1980. Then in 1983, producer Nick Martinelli suggested she sign to Philly World Records as a solo artist, with her debut single, You Make It Heaven, being a minor hit in England at number 53. Her follow-up, a cover of the Detroit Spinners track, I'll Be Around, reached the top 20 in England, and she got to perform on BBC's Top of the Pops. On the back of this success, she recorded an album, Just Like Dreaming. However, it missed the charts, and none of the three follow-up singles charted. And
but
she disappeared.
That's over here, though. Or was that everywhere?
Was everywhere. She never really...
Oh, so she was like a flop in general. Yeah. Like, because usually there might be a flop here, but still do all right in America. Right. She was not even there. Okay.
So I can see quickly how she did in the UK, elsewhere. So in the US, she only charted on the R&B chart, I'll Be Around 81, and in that both in 1984, and I'm Giving All My Love 66. Nowhere else did it chart other than the UK.
Okay. So, a flop.
Really. Her album didn't even chart anywhere.
Oh, okay. Right, okay.
She's a minor blip, and her one single was a cover, as I said. Of the Detroit Spinners. So 1984, I'll Be Around got to number 17 on the UK chart.
Okay, well, like you say, it got her into the Top of the Pops, didn't it? This is a bit of a background song. I really do prefer I'm Giving All My Love. It's the same tone throughout with an underlayer trying to break through. It feels like the backing singers had more of a part to it as well.
Okay. So, did, were you influenced? Did I influence you? Or were they misses? You'd rather not listen to them again and wish you hadn't. We'll start with Whitney Houston.
She's a hit. I just think she's fabulous. And like I say, her vocals are unmatched. It was nice to listen to songs that I hadn't heard of before from someone that I like already knew and is quite big. And she's also stood the test of time anyway. I feel like her songs are still used this day. Even Million Dollar Bill. You know, like sometimes, like I said, with Kylie Minogue. Is it Kylie Minogue or is it Madonna? One of those. Kylie Minogue brought out a song. They're still going and the new song should not be existent. Whereas Whitney Houston, okay, as much as hers was, you know, in 2009, her song still made a big hit and it was still a very enjoyable song. So, yeah.
Okay. Jackie Graham.
She was a miss. She just weren't hitting the right places and I just feel, I don't think she'd do very well in the charts now. Like, she's not really, and I mean her album show as well, she did the two albums and they did well and then nothing, but I just think the songs just aren't keeping in a tone. She's not found herself enough and yeah, she can stay there.
Okay. Dionne Warwick.
She's a hit and thoroughly enjoyed her. I think when I say that some of them should have been bigger, I think Dionne Warwick should have been bigger. Obviously she probably was, like, is in America anyway, so it's just a sad thing of us being in the UK not getting everything and everything, but yeah, she's definitely someone that I'm going to look into more because she's really good. I enjoyed her a lot.
Okay. Taylor Dane.
She's another hit. She's another one where I'm kind of, because her vocals are really well, she's as much as like Jackie Graham is kind of varied in what she does, and I'm sat here going, she needs to find what she's good at and solidify that a bit. Taylor Dane is just varied and it works without going too up and down and not knowing where she's coming from. So I really enjoyed her.
Joan Armour Trading.
Again, a hit. Really enjoyed her songs and she's someone that I will explore more. I'm very intrigued to see what other songs she's got, whether they stay with the same tone of that just beauty and the calmness of her.
And finally, Terry Wells.
She's a miss. I think it'd be very shocking. Imagine if I said she was a hit and then she's actually flopped worldwide anyway.
She's actually a flop herself anyway, really, yeah.
No, she's a miss. I agree with everything. Like I say, I prefer I'm Giving You My Love. Is that what it's called? The one that I prefer? I'm giving All My Love. Preferred that one. Mm-hmm. That one should have been in a chart, not I'll Be Around.
Uh-huh. Okay. So four hits. I'll take that.
Yep. Done well this week.
So, are you ready for next week's or this week?
I am. Who have I got?
So you have got Diana Ross.
Oh, I know her. Yep.
Olivia Newton-John.
I know her too, but only from Greece.
Misha Paris.
No.
Suzanne Vega.
No.
Tanita Tikaram.
No, that's a fun name to say.
Anita Baker.
Nope.
So they are your six for next week or this week.
Okay.
Diana Ross, Olivia Newton-John, Mika Paris, Suzanne Vega, Tanita Tikaram, and Anita Baker.
Okay. I know two out of six, but knowing me, I'll know some songs by some of the others. So we'll see how I find them.
Yeah. Okay. On that note, I will get those songs over to you and say goodbye until next week.
Yeah. All right. See you then.
See you, babe.
Bye, Dad.